The Canadian Nuclear Safety Commission is considering whether a 34-year-old nuclear power plant just across the border from Maine should be relicensed for another 5 years. Point Lepreau may not be as well known to Mainers as Seabrook Station in New Hampshire, with a significant urban population nearby. But with Maine ports, fisheries, and farming all within a 50-mile radius of Lepreau, there is a lot riding on the operation of the plant, which won't be decommissioned for another 25 years. Jennifer Mitchell took a tour of the plant and has the first of two reports.
At the end of a breezy peninsula jutting 6 miles into the Bay of Fundy rises a gray concrete tower and a complex of industrial buildings. It's the Point Lepreau Nuclear Generating Station. It's an odd bedfellow for the surrounding coastal marshes and grasslands, which serve as an important stop for migrating birds.
Hi, are you Paul?
I am.
Hi.
Visiting a nuclear plant is a safety-intensive experience unlike any other. An initial checkpoint and security screening gets you onto the grounds. Inside, there's another security check, and then communications chief Paul Doucette hands me some forms to fill out, which must include a contact address.
And
Do you need my personal one or the business?
Your personal one.
Personal one.
And I'll tell you why. We will send you some information about your visit.
All right. That sounds intriguing.
More on that in just a second. There are a few more procedural hoops, and then we're joined by Tony Munn, who is responsible for the facility and for me. I can't be out of his line of sight at any point. Munn gives me a second badge along with a little purple device.
You keep it in your upper torso on the outside, so you can put it on your jacket for now, and then we'll switch it when you...
So are you wondering what that is?
Yes, I am. What is this?
It's a TLD. It measures your gamma and beta dose.
Or how much radiation I've encountered. That's the information that Doucette referred to earlier. In the coming days, I'll get a letter telling me that number, but Munn says he's confident the radiation dose will be a flat zero. Next, I'm given some blocky, unstylish shoes to wear, some safety glasses, a hard hat, and the tour begins.
Hi, I'm Al Phillips. The post-job brief is a meeting to review the work that was performed and to identify lessons learned.
Some nuclear basics now. Lepreau works by generating heat through the fission of uranium rather than the burning of coal, gas, or another fuel. That heat is used to boil water to produce steam, which then flows to the turbine room.
You see, we have a high-pressure turbine, three low-pressure turbines, and the main generator.
Lepreau Vice President Nuclear Brett Plummer explains that the turbines power the generator, which makes the electricity. The plant, he says, has only just come back online after 29 days of downtime for maintenance.
So we're constantly improving, making modifications. We actually took this high-pressure turbine casing off, and we looked at the turbine blading and the spindle on that HP turbine last outage to make sure we didn't have any cracking. Everything was in good shape, which it was.
But the turbines, the steam, and the generator are not what scare people.
It's the waste. If you can find a way to solve nuclear waste so that it's not going to be harmful for generations to come, maybe we can have a discussion.
About 30 miles away, Hugh Akagee has shown up at a Nuclear Safety Commission hearing in St. John to argue against Point Lepreau's license renewal on behalf of the Passamaquoddy Nation. Dozens of industry executives, regulators, and almost 100 registered speakers are also weighing in. Akagee says he finds the entire process frustrating. The tribe has members living on both sides of the border, but Canada does not recognize the Passamaquoddy as an official First Nations group. That means, he says, the entire nation, which straddles the border, has little leverage in the proceedings, even though the Pleasant Point Reservation in Maine is well within the 50-mile zone of concern should there be a radiation release. Akagee says he feels like the process stacks the deck in favor of industry.
To promote the facility, they need all morning, but for us to defend the land, we get 10 minutes.
All 95 interveners are given 10 minutes to present their views to the commission. The majority who favor relicensing the plant range from individuals to businesses who appreciate the savings on their power bills, although those rates have gone up 2% this year. Those speaking against include the Passamaquoddy, Maliseet, Mi'kmaq, and environmental groups like Greenpeace. Their issues range from the philosophical to cultural, environmental, and economic, with important fisheries just offshore. Back at Lepreau, we've reached that part of the plant which so many find scary, problematic, or at least mysterious, the reactor.
So you can see there's a zone 3 where we have whole body monitors. That yellow area is the barrier. And in order to get in that area, you need additional radiation protection devices.
So we're not actually going to go beyond that yellow barrier where the CANDU-6 pressurized heavy water reactor lives. It burns the isotope U-235 from natural uranium. Atoms from the U-235 are split, releasing energy and making heat. But only a tiny fraction of the uranium that goes into the reactor can be used. The rest goes out as waste for long-term storage. At the moment, it's being stored on-site. Brett Plummer says eventually it will need to be transported to another location, yet to be determined, and that will spark another round of hearings.
That's not the last radiation alarm. We have two more to go through.
Oh, we do?
We do.
Now, getting out of the plant is just as hard as getting in. All coats, hats, glasses, and my gear must be put inside a monitoring box and swept for particles of radiation.
Putting all my equipment?
Yeah.
And it won't hurt it, will it?
No. It just checks to see if anything's wrong.
No contamination.
While the microphone takes a ride in the machine, we prepare to go through the next two levels of security, which includes a rather sci-fi full-body radiation scan.
Five, four, three, two, one.
Another checkpoints, another card swipe, another monitor, and we're back. Point Le Preux has had a few problems in recent years. One was aging infrastructure, which led to a $3.3 billion refurbishment that was completed in 2012. But since then, the plant has not been able to hit its performance targets, operating at just 78% capacity annually. So seeing the extreme vigilance required, the extensive and expensive maintenance needed, coupled with the possibility, however remote, of a truly catastrophic meltdown, why would anyone do this? Well, in part two, we'll look at some of those reasons and what a disaster would mean for Maine. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Jennifer Mitchell.